On a normal day, it's estimated that the number of people in the world with no access to electricity is about 1.4 billion people. But yesterday was not normal. Yesterday, that number of people with no access to electricity spiked abruptly to more than 2 billion as one of the biggest power outages ever hit India. Networks serving 680 million people collapsed. Now, India and Indians are known for having a seemingly infinite patience with rickety infrastructure. Surely an outage that put the entire measly 320 million population of the USA in the dark would have been a nasty, possibly violent affair. Not in the case of India, but this was a bitter test of India's mission to be both one of the most populous nations in the world, as well as a powerful and successful industrial democracy. Joining us to talk about the grid in India and grids around the world is John McDonald. He's an expert on power grids worldwide and their future, director of technology, strategy, and policy development at General Electric Digital Energy, and a fellow with the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. John McDonald, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
So GE does a considerable amount of business over in South Asia. Was this failure, as far as you can tell, and there's an investigation underway, does this seem like a load kind of failure or a glitch kind of failure?
You know, from what we can see, it's primarily a failure of a country in general that is aspiring to be a world leader. Its demand for electricity has really grown much faster than its generation capacity. Its demand has grown about 5% per year. And in 2011-2012, there's actually a deficit of almost 11% between how much electricity they demand versus the additions to generation. And so what happened yesterday was, because of the shortage, the government has allocated a quota of the amount of energy that each of the nine states can use. And yesterday had a situation of six of the nine states were using much more electricity than their quota. One state was 132% of what it was allocated, another state 79%. So the overall, the total usage was in excess of 28% of the allocation.
John McDonald, in a nation where you're serving more than a billion people, is there any sort of traditional sense of control over the grid? Can you really enforce the kinds of channeling of energy and rationing of energy that will keep things from getting out of control?
You know, that's a difficult situation. There are means in place, and in fact, they're in place in India to prevent what happened yesterday. There's protection equipment that's in the grid that when you have a situation where the demand is greater than the capacity, the system frequency and the system voltage will decrease. And there's special equipment out in the field called under-frequency or under-voltage relaying that within a very, very, very short period of time, there's different settings. And as the system, you know, degrades, it automatically sheds enough load to keep the system stable. If it continues to degrade, there's another setting. So, you know, this is the first tier of prevention, of preventing a blackout, to keep the system stable. What has to happen, though, is you have to sacrifice some load. Some load has to be shed. And actually, India, as a second tier, has in their control centers, has the ability to shed larger blocks of load to prevent what happened yesterday. But the decision has to be made to do that. And
right.
What happened yesterday was that decision was not made and did not take place, and the grid degraded to the point of the blackout that was experienced.
So looking at India and then looking at the grid in the United States and North America and, say, even over in Europe, are these grids sufficiently modern to deal with what looks like limits of scalability as populations and demand for energy and demand for even, like, Wi-Fi access is only going to increase?
Well, the grid, truthfully, the grid, we have added intelligence into the grid. you know, to operate the grid more efficiently, to give us more control over, remote control over its operation. But candidly, you know, the grid has not progressed technology-wise as quickly, let's say, as our telecommunications industry, you know, from Alexander Graham Bell up to today with the cell phones and the apps and the capability that we have. So you might have heard the term smart grid or grid modernization. There's a tremendous effort now going on to, you know, add more intelligence to the grid to make it smarter, to give us the ability to take advantage of the technology we have available today to operate the grid much more efficiently, more optimally, and more reliably.
Are we adding that modernization at a more rapid rate than we're adding demand in places where people are demanding more kinds of electrical access, like cars, for instance?
It's a good question, and it really is. It's really I say it's a three-legged stool, where if any of those legs is missing, it's unstable. All three legs need to take place. Technology is just one third of this. What we really need is, in addition to technology, is the industry standards work, because we have to. The technology has to be based on standards. And third is policy. We need state and federal regulators, state regulators and federal legislators, to make sure that we have the policy, you know, that incentivizes our electric utilities to make that investment. And we, for 3 years now, we have a national effort in the United States to develop the industry standards for this effort. It's through NIST, the Department of Commerce. And since the beginning, I've chaired the board of this work, which is 1,900 people now and about 800 companies all working together. So I feel good about that. We just need to the policy is an effort that we're focused on now to make sure that each of our states and at the federal level have the legislation to, you know, to incentivize the utilities to make that investment.
All right.
In the technology.
John McDonald, an expert on power grids worldwide and their future, director of technology strategy and policy development at General Electric Digital Energy. He's also a fellow with the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you very much.